Jazakallah Maulana, we trust you and the listeners of Hurmat Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlusun and Wal Jama'ah, are all well and Alhamdulillah, through the grace and mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we are given the opportunity to continue with our program, Bilad al-Muslimin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Malik Umiddin, Iyaka Nabudu, Iyaka Nasta'in, Idan Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah Ta'ala guide us to the straight path. Through the grace and mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we continue with our program Bilad al-Muslimin this morning. Last week, we dealt with the Constitution of 1965. This week we are going to deal with the Constitution of 1973. In the aftermath of the establishment of Bangladesh on the 26th March 1972, Yahya Khan was forced to acknowledge that he had lost his gamble to retain the unity of Pakistan. He was outwitted by not only Mujibur Rahman and the Awami League, but also the power brokers in Pakistan. The loss of the East Wing resulted in massive campaigns in Pakistan for the reassessment of the ideological basis of Pakistan and called for deep soul searching. Islamic parties laid the blame on the leadership for not adhering to the Islamic tenets, while the secularists contended that democracy had been undermined by the military junta. In the face of all this pressure, Yahya Khan lost complete control. His drunken escapades and depressive regression heralded the end of his regime. Bhutto, having recorded under his Pakistan People's Party a landslide victory in the 1970 elections under the slogan of Roti, Kapram or Makan, bread, clothing and shelter, or Islamic socialism as it was touted, ascended to the leadership. Bhutto's aim to restructure the political and social norms of Pakistan under the guise of Islamic socialism was a dubious ploy for Muslim Pakistan that it espoused communism, which was an anathema for even the most secular section of Pakistani society. Upon his accession to power, Bhutto immediately took steps to implement his mandate. A 25-member Special Constitutional Assembly was established under the chairmanship of M.A. Kasturi, who was later succeeded by Abdul Hafiz Pirzada. The assembly, despite having to contend with linguistic, cultural, and rampant self-interest of the landlords and politicians, succeeded in presenting a draft for consideration by the National Assembly, which approved the Constitution on the 10th of April 1973 by 125 votes to 3. The Constitution of 1973 granted to Pakistan its first representative constitution that was approved by the National Assembly, that was endorsed by a general election, thus fully representative of the masses. According to Benazir Bhutto, it was Pakistan's first democratic constitution framed by genuinely elected representatives of the people that for the first time in Pakistan introduced the provisions of fundamental human rights and the rule of law. The constitution consisted of a preamble, 280 articles, and 6 schedules. It is also regarded as the most Islamic constitution in that the preamble detailed the various concepts of democracy, freedom, equality, tolerance and social justice according to the injunctions of Islam. The designation of the country as the Islamic Republic of Pakistan confirmed the visions of the Pakistan movement at the time of its founding. The constitution also declared Islam as the religion of the state and retained the objective resolution as its preamble. Article 31 made the teaching and learning of Quran compulsory. The constitution pacified the ulama and the Jamaat-e-Islami with the incorporation of their demands regarding riba, that is usually the institution of zakat and awqaf. Bhutto also amended the constitution in 1974 to declare the Ahmadiyya sect of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad as a non-Muslim minority in Pakistan. The government was accountable to parliament and not to the president. And it, that is the parliament, was the supreme legislative organ. The bicameral parliament consisted of the lower house, the National Assembly, representing the popularly elected members, and 30 nominated seats reserved for women and minorities. The upper house, that is the Senate, represented the leaders of the provincial assemblies and the administrative territories. The constitution also recognized the independence of the judiciary. The provisions of the Advisory Council of Islamic Theology contained in the 1962 constitution were carried over into the 1973 constitution in articles 228, 229, and 230, with the establishment of a Council of Islamic Ideology. Nadvi has contended that despite changes in the constitution, the bourgeois framework remained unchanged, and Islam enjoyed no better status than the previous constitutions. The religious movements were not satisfied with piecemeal and peripheral Islamization programs and agitated for the complete overhauling of the political system. The provisions of the competences of the president as head of state, exercising minimal powers, and the prime minister as head of government and chief executive also promoted uncertainties. The vacillation from a presidential to a parliamentary form of government tended, particularly in the case of Pakistan, to create unstable political institutions that were subjected to constant changes depending on whether civilian or military rule was in office. The constitution also stressed a strong central government, diluting the powers of the provinces. The uneasy posturings of the provinces for the devolution of more power and competencies still challenges the government and could easily turn into further threats of secession, which can rock the stability of Pakistan. The euphoria of Islamic socialism was lost in the pursuit of self-interest, and Bhutto, tutored under the regime of Ayub Khan, used his position as prime minister to undermine the very constitution he had no small part in promulgating. He became the civilian martial law administrator to consolidate his rule. His opposition launched the massive campaign to protest misdeeds perpetrated by his cohorts and administration, including the murder of his opponents. Within 4 years of the promulgation of the constitution in 1977, Pakistan was to experience another era of military rule. This time under President Ziaul Haq, he retained the 1970 constitution and used it to legitimize his rule with the help of the religious faction. Nalla Marutviku that had laid the ground for the full-blown Islamization movement that was to be followed and implemented by CIA, a process that had evaded the government of Pakistan since inception. The political culture in Pakistan had been influenced by the observation of Elman and Powell that it is a legacy of the past. What is involved is the belief system about values and attitudes that are often associated with a particular nation. Traditional views on politics and government, emotional commitment or loyalty toward a set of ideologies. And the leadership has pursued the harnessing of power using Islam as the basis of their rule. The first decade of independence, the leadership was positioned largely in the domain of those who had played a leading role in the Pakistan movement to achieve a separate entity for the Muslims of Southeast Asia. The emotional and sentimental respect for the founding fathers, that is Jinnah, Liaquat Ali Khan, and Chaudhry Rahmat Ali, he penned the name Pakistan with the pseudonyms of Punjab, Afghania, Indus, and Sindh. While literally it means the land of the pure, and others forestalled any disrespect, though the jockeying for power was already simmering in the corridors of the 70s. The leadership also exploited the degree of political participation because of the obstacles prevalent in the society. These obstacles consist of low living standards, illiteracy, geographic isolation, and clan, tribal, and religious loyalties. While the pursuit of patron-client relationships founded on hierarchical interdependencies, where the ordinary citizen seeks to serve the local patron, that is the leader, the politician, or the bureaucrat, has been ingratiated in the culture of politics in Pakistan. The military and civilian rulers have taken cognition of these cultural trends and used them without any apology. Ayub Khan's accession to power was preceded by him being elevated to commander-in-chief of the army in 1951. He had been privy to all decisions taken and implemented by Ghulam Mohammad, the governor general, and Iskandar Mirza, the president. He was appointed as Minister of Defense after the sacking of Nazimuddin as Prime Minister. The triumvirate prevented elected leaders from managing the affairs of the country and destroyed governments by withdrawing their patronage from beleaguered prime ministers. In 1958, as the CMA, he abrogated the 56th Constitution amid bureaucratic inefficiency and corruption in the civil government, that is hoarding, smuggling, and black marketing. His disdain for the parliamentary system of government was spelled out in his aim of making Pakistan a sound, solid, and cohesive nation through a constitution that will suit the genius of the people and based on the circumstances confronting them. In 1962, he introduced a new constitution with the pyramidal basic democracies. His historical promotion of Proda in 1949 was reframed by Ayub Khan in the form of elective bodies disqualification order, that is the ABDO. which widely brought into the ambit of its definition those whom Ayut sought not to participate in the political process. The order brought many competent politicians and leaders from participation in the basic democracy process. He implemented his land distribution and reform program to rein in the large landowners and the aristocracy who owned land in terms of square miles. An estimated 2.5 million acres of land were surrendered, but the net failed to acquire proportionate land from the landowners of Sindh, who received lenient treatment because of their connections. The stated intention to redistribute land to the landless tenants and the poor was overlooked by the offer of the acquired land to military and civil officials at giveaway prices. The development of the economy was also geared to the enrichment of the elite and the business class. The second five-year plan, that is from 1960 to 1965, reported that the development of the economy was also geared to the enrichment of the elite and business class. The second five-year plan noted that 60% of the sole bank credit went to only 222 accounts in the form of advances of 1 million rupees and above, while advances to borrowers of small means did not exceed 6% of the total credit spread. The business sector also ravaged the export bonus voucher system, which, though not promoting any or only some exports, nevertheless ensured that they multiplied their wealth overnight. The basic democracies ensured that Ayub Khan had the support of the 80,000 local basic democracies who were managed and manipulated by patronage or intimidated into submission by local bureaucrats. On the 14th of February 1960, these Democrats, in the absence of a constitution, elected Ayub Khan as President of Pakistan. He viewed complex social problems simplistically and deduced every situation in terms of military discipline and command politics. Ayub Khan's regime had to contend with the discontent in Balochistan. His aversion to criticism was manifest in his handling of the Baluch Sardars, that is Akbar Bakhti, Ataullah Mengal, and Khair Bakhsh Mari, by imprisoning them. These leaders, however, showed no constraint in their condemnation of the regime's disregard of their status as clan leaders, but also assuaging the rights of the Baluch. The constitution of 1962 ensured the locus of power was firmly concentrated in the seat of the president. Though he had endorsed the constitution, Feldman had observed that the constitution was the object of so much change and amendment by Ayub Khan and his government that it appeared as if they were floundering in a quiet quagmire of irresolute views, conflicting opinions, and apprehensions of the future. Ayub turned a blind eye to the treatment accorded to his son, Gauhar Ayub. From being a junior-ranked army captain, he was transformed into a business magnate through the acquisition of the General Motors franchise under Gandhara Industries. Gauhar also acquired an investment company and a food canning venture. The pickings of Ayub Khan and his family from being military officer to a president, despite wanting to eradicate the corrupt sharks and leeches, extracted a healthy $20 million when he abdicated. Ayub also helped polish and shine the boots of his contemporaries in the military through the dispensation of farmland, development of special housing societies, and diplomatic postings. He also honored them by becoming heads of public sector companies or provincial governments, governors, or even mega industrialists. In the 1965 war against India under the code names of Operation Gibraltar and Operation Grand Slam, trained up by the fanciful notions of Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, resulted in a humiliating defeat for Pakistan. The subsequent ceasefire negotiated on 23rd September 1965 under the aegis of the then Soviet Union Premier Alexei Kosygin and the resultant Tashkent Declaration heralded the end of Ayub Khan with his close lieutenants turning against him. Air Marshal Asghar Khan, Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, and other army generals. The regime's attempt to rein in the demands of the Awami League under Mujibur Rahman through the Roundtable Conference of 1969 failed miserably as Pakistan was thrown into anarchy. The students, the trade unions, and the opposition politicians gave the regime no respite. They had had enough. The economy was shattered. Sugar quotas were imposed. Opposition was suppressed, and killings of politicians in the opposition camp reached alarming levels. The failure of Ayub Khan's regime resulted in the president on 25th March 1969, after 18 years, first as commander-in-chief and later as president, to bring in his commander in general, Yahya Khan as Chief Martial Law Administrator. General Yahya Khan was inducted as president on 1st April 1969. You must remember the day. It had some significance with being an April Fool. And the Fool's Paradise was wrenched with the most traumatic event in the two decades of Pakistan. The secession of East Pakistan as the state of Bangladesh. Yahya introduced for the first time in Pakistan the legal framework order, that is the LFO, in the absence of a constitution to rule the country. He committed himself to one-man, one-vote elections in Pakistan instead of the parity system, that is equal seats for both wings of Pakistan. This effectively ensured that the East Wing would constitute a majority in the National Assembly due to its majority population. The elections of 1970 brought the results as anticipated with one surprise. The Awami League of Sheikh Mujibur Rahman had recorded a clean sweep of the National Assembly seats allocated to East Pakistan. In the West Wing, the Pakistan People's Party of Bhutto recorded a significant victory that gave it a majority in the West, but not sufficient to form a government in the National Assembly. The majority of the Awami League also had repercussions on the framing of the new constitution and the composition of the Constitutional Assembly. The generals in the army were perplexed by the prospect of having Mujibur Rahman as prime minister and his contention that the East would contribute to the first curse and to the first curse in proportion to its representation in the army and the bureaucracy. The power struggle between the East and West and the impasse regarding the inauguration of the Awami League as the National Assembly majority party fend the crisis. Yahya's prevarication in the convening of the National Assembly and the interplay of the power brokers, Bhutto and the generals, precipitated the crisis towards the ultimate unfolding. Instead of seeking solutions in the legitimacy of the 1970 elections, Yahya Khan sought the root of power through the junta planning a military crackdown on a recalcitrant Mujib and East Pakistan. The crackdown was tragic for Pakistan. The battalions from the west were flown in. Central authority collapsed in the east. The killing started. Soldiers of the country killing their own citizens. And India sent in the troops to avenge not only the 1965 war, but also to stem the millions of refugees overflowing into West Bengal. On the 6th of December 1971, the fate of Pakistan was sealed. Bangladesh was proclaimed with Mujibur Rahman as its first prime minister. The seething anger of Pakistani at the defeat once again by India and the loss of the East Wing forced Yahya Khan on 20th December 1971 to transfer power to Bhutto as Chief Martial Law Administrator and the new President of Pakistan. Well, now we have come to the end of our program. Inshallah, that'll make it easy. We also have to take into consideration last week that the attack that took place in Kashmir, where 26 tourists were called out of the call, were shot, and out of those 26, at least half of them were Muslims. And India has once again reiterated that it is going to close and freeze the treaty of the Indus Waters treaties, and this could be a big threat to Pakistan. Allah make it easy for the people of Pakistan and Gaza, and make our ijtima here in Johannesburg a success. To you and the listeners once again of Markaz Sahabah, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, you will get the podcast during the course of the day, and jazakallah.